Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, guys, nothing is better than going into a hostile environment and coming out with a win. Patriots' division win against the Bills shut them up for a little bit, huh?
Oh, almost. You almost did the impossible and shut up Rex Ryan, but he was still talking post-game.
Well, yeah,
he was sulking and he was, you know, about to jump off a cliff.
But... yeah, you can never fully shut him up. But it was a different attitude after the game than it was before the game.
Well, he was certainly as humbled as that man can possibly be because, as he said, he got out-coached. Brady went in there, and I know Bill called it an illusion of a great day of the passing game. I thought Brady in the passing game looked pretty damn good with the, again, it's a two-man show and then some complimentary pieces. It's Gronk and Edelman dominating and then guys filling in around.
Well, is it possible that this offense might be better than we thought it would be going into the season?
It's better than I thought it would be, and I already thought it was going to be really, really good. I don't ever worry about the offense during the course of the summer, and I know there were some moving parts. I just didn't expect Gronkowski and Edelman to be so in sync with Brady right from the start. And that's exactly what it's been. Andy's right. Those two have been the focal point of everything they've done. And given how little work they did together during the summer, yes, I'm a little surprised with just how good the offense has been. But not because I didn't think the offense was going to be good. This is just even better than I thought.
Well, we all question about the youth of the interior offensive line going in. You know, are they going to be able to hold up, particularly on the road with the noise, hostile environment? You know, a Bills defensive front that is very highly paid and talented. And yet, you know, there's David Andrews, you know, calling out plays and communicating with Brady and, you know, doing a seven-man rotation throughout the game. And they did the job. And I think, to me, that was the key to the win. Because if that didn't work, if that offensive line didn't hold up, it doesn't matter how in sync Edelman is and Gronk is with Brady. You know, that was going to be a long day, but they did their job. I hope everyone on that offensive line got game balls.
They should. And clearly, you know, the game plan was to get rid of the ball quickly. It always is in these situations. We've kind of grown accustomed to it over the years. I don't know why defenses haven't grown accustomed to it over the years. But just in Andrews in particular, Josh McDaniel said it this week on his conference call. Every opportunity they've given him since the spring, he's taken advantage of and moved on to the next one. And we've seen that over 2 weeks. He played wire to wire against Pittsburgh, and we said, well, you know, it's Pittsburgh. But next week, he's got the Bills in Buffalo, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? The next week against the Bills in Buffalo, he did the job. And it was good enough for them to put up 500 yards of total offense. So, you know, I'm kind of done questioning Andrews. Looks like Mason maybe has pulled ahead a little bit of Jackson in the rotation among the rookies. But those guys, it's hard to tell who's out there because they've been pretty successful with whoever's out there.
Yeah, and I certainly am in the category, and in the camp, rather, that thought it was going to be much different this week. Because I do think a lot of the Bills front, Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius, they're good players. And Pittsburgh didn't have that kind of talent on the inside. They absolutely did this week, and they were non-factors. 61 dropbacks, only 2 sacks. And really, even more impressive than that, I thought, very little pressure. Did Brady even get hit 5 times in the game? I can't really recall too many times that he was, you know, under pressure, and it was because of Brady he got the ball out so fast. They didn't have a lot of free guys coming in at him, so really, really good job by those guys.
And a tip of the cap also to Josh McDaniels. I think, aside from maybe being a little bit too, you know, wanting it too much at the end, I think overall the play calling was amazing. And I mean, that was part of keeping the Bills on their heels throughout the game. I thought that was one of his best call games.
Well, he spread it around. As much as we talk about Edelman and Gronk, he and Brady were able to sort of diversify. You were close to 4 guys going over 100 yards receiving, and I don't know that that's happened, or I certainly have never seen that. And the guy I'm most impressed by, and I got to give it to you, Paul, you said the passing back role will not be a problem. Somebody will fill it. Well, Deion Lewis has more than filled
this day
it.
And day.
He has taken the ball and run with it. And what put it into perspective with me, he had 98 yards receiving against the Bills. And I tweeted this out yesterday, a couple days ago, Fred, and you saw it. Prior to this game, he had 3 career receptions. 2 of them had gone for losses in his NFL career. And now he's out there just catching 40-yard plays, looking like a, you know,
everything's ready, better with Brady.
Right. He's a fine-tuned aspect of the offense. Of course, we're overlooking the fumbles, but we'll get to that in another segment, I'm sure. But Deion Lewis, Aaron Dobson, you know, was his career over? Is he going to get cut at the end of camp? No, he's going to have 80, 90 yards receiving in week 2 to help you win.
No, we can't ignore the defense. Shaky start, then they settle down. But then, you know, letting up all those points at the end, you think that was just a matter of kind of easing up too much or, you know, not good in those, you know, down the line situations when teams just spread them out and have to pass? What's the deal with the defense? And is that a concern going forward?
For me, it is. I remained a little concerned about the defense for a couple of reasons. One, I think that they got tremendous pressure on Tyrod Taylor in this game, and they were able to sack him 8 times, and they were able to make him uncomfortable. But you saw when he was able to break containment and get outside the edges, the stuff that we talked about all week came to fruition. And there were other times where guys were just open without necessarily him having to buy time to extend plays. So I still am concerned about that back end. The front seven, a lot of people talked about they will be good enough to sort of overcome the weaknesses. And we saw that this week for large stretches. The front seven made life easier on the back 4 or 5, but they weren't able to sustain it for 60 minutes. And then in the fourth quarter, when you're probably sitting back playing a little bit more safe, they were allowing big plays, and that's really a no-no. And in the fourth quarter, in situations like that, to let guys, I think Robert Woods got behind one time, Sammy Watkins gets behind, you can't let those things happen at that time.
And I thought the athleticism of Taylor sort of took over. You know, he's running and making plays. He's sort of flicking it down the field and making plays down the field. They need to tighten that up, and it's a weird game because, you know, the fantasy football world or just the stats world, when you pick off 3 passes, have 8 sacks, that's great. You know, those are great numbers. Those will make your numbers look good moving forward as a unit, but on the field, it wasn't nearly as good as those
numbers. 3 touchdowns and 32 points.
Yeah.
All right, Jaguars up next. I got a feeling it's going to be a little quieter this week.
But with Brandon LaFell out of the lineup, the Patriots offense was certainly in need of an outside threat, outside the numbers as a complementary piece. And at least for 1 week, Aaron Dobson emerged as that in Buffalo. 7 catches, 87 yards. Did a really nice job starting drives just the way LaFell used to do. Some deep outs, some deep ins, some in cuts and slants. He was able to get open, and more importantly, he was able to catch the football. He gave Tom Brady another option in addition to Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman. So a nice first step for Dobson, maybe his best game since his rookie year. If he can keep that going, it'll be really important for the Patriots offense. When we think of Patriots center fielders, we like to think of Devin McCourty as that smart, cerebral type in the back line of the defense. But in the first 2 games, I've been really impressed with the play of Daron Harmon in that role. And he's got an interception in each game to show for it. I was really impressed with the one against Pittsburgh, where he lined up on the right hash, got all the way over to the left sideline to intercept Ben Roethlisberger. Really, really heads-up play and show great range on the play. It's the type of stuff that we've seen from McCourty at times in the past, but a really good sign to see a young guy like Harmon step into that role. Patriots secondary a little bit different than it was last year. They're going to need more coverage to help those cornerbacks. Harmon's off to a great start. My last point, I'm going to stick in the Patriots secondary, and I'm going to get a little bit on the negative side here. I'm going to talk about Bradley Fletcher.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week from a crowd-quieting win in Buffalo. This is one I think is a penalty. Here's a great shot of Danny Amendola about to make that great catch toward the end of the game. Finally, all Patriots fans love seeing this one.
Players' Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Yeah, Patriots wide receiver Aaron Dobson with us this week. And Aaron, you had a great road victory for the team in Buffalo, and it had to feel good for you personally as well to have such a big game. 7 catches, 87 yards.
It was good. It was fun. You know, we went out there as a team. You know, we handled business, what we were supposed to do. And now we're just preparing for our next week on to the Jaguars. So.
You know, before I move in to Jacksonville, I just want to ask you one quick question about Buffalo, just the environment that was there. And we heard a lot about the noise heading in. What was it like on the field? You guys did a lot of no-huddle stuff. How did you handle that?
It was loud. It was very loud. I mean, Buffalo is always loud when we go there. And, you know, when we prepare for that, we expected that, you know, and I think we handled it pretty well.
Now, for you personally, this was an opportunity, you know, throughout the offseason, you were as healthy as you've been since you've been in New England. That had to be a big relief for you to enter training camp as physically ready to go as you were. Did it feel, you know, that much more comfortable?
Yeah, it felt good. You know, I had the whole offseason to get prepared, you know, get to go through OTAs, all the training camp, you know. So it was definitely a good feeling to be on the field and take the reps that I needed. So.
Jacksonville on tap this week. What kind of problems do the Jaguars present?
They're a real young, talented defense, you know. So we got to go out there, be disciplined, you know, and do what we do as an offense, you know. Just execute and we should be okay.
We know you came from Marshall and you tied Troy Brown with touchdown receptions there. Did you ever talk to Troy about that? You could have got one more, you get in front of him?
I talked to Troy Brown. He's came back. He's came here. I've talked to him back at Marshall, you know. I haven't really talked to him about the receiving touchdowns, but, you know, I wish I could have got one more ahead of him, but, you know, it just ended up how it did.
I'm going to end a little bit lighthearted here. Everybody that watches this show knows me and knows that I'm a Northeastern basketball fan and how close you were to becoming a Northeastern basketball player.
Yes.
First of all, just talk to me about your visit there. You went to Northeastern and enjoyed the school.
I took a visit there in high school. Came up here, actually went to my first hockey game here, you know. So I actually enjoyed the city, Boston, pretty well. You know, I was down here walking around campus, you know, hang with some of the basketball players, met a couple of coaches. So it was a good time. I had a good time on a visit up here.
And the Huskies went to the NCAAs this year. Did you notice that at all?
I did not notice that at all.
How close they came to beating Notre Dame? That's my selfish side of it.
This week's matchup lacks a little of the luster we've had the first 2 weeks. Let's be honest, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's a reason they pick in the top 10 every year, but they do have some athletic playmaking talent on offense that starts with Allen Robinson, the big wide receiver who's averaging, 26 yards a catch on his 7 receptions this season, 2 touchdowns last week to help beat the Dolphins, and T.J. Yeldon, the rookie running back, only averaging 3.3 yards per carry. But if the Jaguars are going to get it going offensively, Robinson and Yeldon will be in the middle of it. The man leading the Jaguars' offense is second-year number 3 overall pick Blake Bortles. Somewhat a combination of the first 2 quarterbacks the Patriots have faced this season. He's big, like Ben Roethlisberger. He's fast, like Tyrod Taylor. Likes to scramble, likes to keep plays alive. Another week where Chandler Jones, Jabal Sheard, Rob Ninkovich controlled rush to keep Bortles in the pocket and try to make him make mistakes. He did that in this first season, hasn't done it as much this year, but time will tell if he does it this week. Finally, it's Rob Gronkowski versus Sergio Brown. Take 2. Remember what happened last time they met?
He was just yapping to me the whole time, and that's why I took him and threw him out of the club.
But let's be honest, it's not fair to just ask Sergio Brown to cover Gronk. No one has been able to cover him all year. The Bills thought they had a guy in King Kong, didn't show up for the game. Rob Gronkowski scored. That's what he's doing. 4 touchdowns in 2 games. Ridiculous. 17 yards a catch for the New England tight end. Good luck, Sergio Brown. Good luck, Jaguars in general.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
This is Rob Gronkowski's offense. Best player in the game today.
Brady would be nothing.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
The Colts were a preseason pick to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl by many. The rationale was each year they've taken the next step and winning their conference was the natural progression. Not so fast. Despite evidence that defense might be Indy's Achilles heel, GM Ryan Grigson spent the offseason picking up pieces for the offense. The problem is he forgot about half the offense, namely the offensive line. Apparently, protecting Andrew Luck has been an issue for some time now, at least according to head coach Chuck Pagano. It's been 3 seasons now. He should be used to it, said Pagano when asked about how Luck is dealing with the situation. Shots fired. And it sounds like they're aimed more at Grigson than Luck. Either way, and at 0-2, the air is slowly coming out of Indy's high hopes. At least this time, the fingers are pointing inward instead of at another team's football.
You know, look at me. I'm always going to be just like Patriots fans, and I'm going to look around the league, and I'm going to find ways to see how the Patriots are disrespected. And the fans pointed this one out to me because I didn't see it as we were busy watching the Buffalo game. But the Baltimore Ravens, John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens of all teams are going to use a trick play with an offensive lineman split out wide to get a touchdown against the Oakland Raiders. And I know it wasn't an ineligible receiver, eligible receiver. It wasn't any of that crap. But what was it, John? It was deception. And you know what? It worked. It's amazing how when you actually think about ways to fool a defense, you can come up with them. And Bill Belichick doesn't have to bend any rules to do it. And you did the same thing this week in Oakland.
All offseason, Patriots fans reminisced about the Super Bowl winning season from a year ago, looking back at last September when the team struggled and using Kansas City as a springboard to the success that landed in a Super Bowl victory. Well, guess what? I'm thinking there are some coaches around the league, namely Chuck Pagano, John Harbaugh, and Pete Carroll, who are going to use the Patriots season from a year ago for their own teaching purposes. Those teams, Super Bowl contenders maybe, 0-2, all of them. If they're going to get to January and maybe beyond, they need to pull a Belichick and forget September.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Tom Brady and his passing attack are off to a massive start in New England. It begs the question, this version, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, is it better than the Moss-Welker combo of 2007?
This is one of your best questions ever. You know why?
There's no right answer?
There's no definitive answer.
I win again.
To me, I like Moss and Welker a little bit better. It's tough, though, because Gronkowski is just such a matchup nightmare. But what I saw from Moss in 2007, we're talking about that specific season. Nobody could cover him. Nobody covered him deep. No one covered him short. No one covered him on slants. He was absolutely uncoverable. I think Welker and Edelman, to a large extent, sort of cancel each other out. You're talking about the two big guns on the outside. And the way that Randy Moss got down the field and made big play after big play, I'm going to go with his athleticism over Gronkowski's bulk.
Yeah, you're clearly talking here basically a debate of Moss versus Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Two guys who are probably in the argument for best ever at their positions in the history of the league. So you look at it, Moss was better that year, but I still don't think he was as versatile as Gronkowski is. I still think Moss really wanted to do one thing. He wanted to take the top off the defense. More often than not, he did. Whether two or three guys covered him, he took the top off. But you remember Bill Belichick later on in his tenure talking about, well, if you take Moss away deep and Welker underneath, what do we have? And I know that was later. That was 09, I think.
Right.
But I think Gronkowski can do it all. He can get down the field. We see him stretch the seam at times. We see him get down the field on the sideline at times. We see him match up with a corner, a linebacker, a safety. The entire defense is thinking about what to do with him.
Well, I mean, I have a hard time arguing with that. He is not on. He is. I have yet to see anybody be able to take him out of a game. So
King Kong doesn't exist.
No, he doesn't. And certainly Rex Ryan learned that last week. The thing about Moss to me, and again, it's just, if you're asking me if it's sustainable, probably not. I'd probably go with Gronkowski over the long haul, but you're talking about one season, and no one stopped him that season. Bill Belichick could say all you got to do is take away Randy Moss over the top, but no one did.
Right.
And 23 touchdowns, an all-time record. I've never seen anything like that individual season. And that combination, that individual season, was not stopped for 19 games.
And I also, I'm going to give Welker a little credit here. I think Welker was better right then than Edelman is now.
I agree.
I think Edelman is good, and he's still putting together his little run of success here in the slot in New England, but I think Welker was a more dangerous combination with Moss, which to me says how good Gronkowski is. He is sort of carrying Julian Edelman and the rest of this offense. Quite frankly, through 2 weeks, I give Rob Gronkowski credit for his 17 yards a catch, his four touchdowns.
Not surprised.
Credit for Chandler's touchdown, credit for Lewis's catches, credit for Edelman's catches. This is Rob Gronkowski's offense. Best player in the game today.
Brady would be nothing.
Rob Gronkowski is absolutely uncoverable. I win, you lose.
I go with the record. Randy Moss.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Okay, it's the time in the show where we answer your questions, the one that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. Let's kick it off with Gary, who writes in, in the past, we've seen Stephen Ridley benched for fumbling. In two games, Deion Lewis already has two fumbles, yet he hasn't missed a beat. What do you think the difference is for Coach Belichick?
Well, to steal a line that Paul used on our post-game show on patriots.com, playmaking. I think you've gotten playmaking out of Deion Lewis through two games that make you want to see more of him. And yes, it's a problem. If it continues, it'll be an issue that'll be dealt with.
You are absolutely right. If it continues to happen, I don't care how confident he is after fumbling, he will not get chances to continue to do it.
He's 2 for 2. That's not good.
Yeah, no. I was glad to see him back, but if we go into Jacksonville and he does it again, Mel writes in, if I were the Pats GM, I would trade Gerard Mayo for a cornerback and maybe even pick up a 2017 fourth-round pick to replace the lost pick. This would also clear up cap room to pay Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins, and or Chandler Jones. Do you agree?
Well, I mean, I'd love to be able to pick up a quality cornerback. I wouldn't trade Mayo for anything less than a quality cornerback. I wouldn't just do it for a guy who's maybe going to compete for the fourth or fifth spot on the roster. I would be leery of getting rid of Mayo. I think they're going to need him. I mean, he's been sort of a bit player the first couple of weeks. I think there are going to be times where they're going to need more than just Hightower and Collins. And I like those two guys. I think they have more versatility, to steal your phrase, Andy, more playmaking ability than Mayo does. But I think they're going to need Mayo before too long. And as for down the road, for paying those guys, They'll have cap numbers. They'll have cap dollars to spend. It'll be a matter of if they feel like those players are worth spending the money on.
Stan writes in, excited by our start, but since preseason, I felt the Patriots are one quality cornerback away from having a roster which can win Super Bowl 50. We need another one opposite Malcolm Butler, so why not ask McCourty to go to cornerback for the good of the team?
This is going to sound like a shot, but didn't he use the word quality cornerback? Last we saw Devin McCourty,
he was not a quality cornerback. That was a shot.
So not only does he not want to play corner, he wasn't good last time he was there. And he's admitted he wasn't good, and he knew at his next position if he wasn't good, he'd be out of football. Well, he is good at safety. So keep him at safety where he is good and where you sign him to this long-term deal. And you're going to have to find another corner. That may be Terrell Brown. I actually think Terrell Brown will find his way into that role. The big question for me now is the third corner, because you have to play nickel so often. Bradley Fletcher has struggled at times. Logan Ryan has struggled at times.
Yeah, so, I think the drop-off at safety is a lot bigger than the upgrade at corner if you move
him. Well, I'm not sure it's an upgrade.
I don't think it's an upgrade.
Even if you thought it was, I think the drop-off in safety
and you're
is
right.
much worse.
The one time we saw that in the preseason, he was up there at the line of scrimmage and the receiver was throwing over the top for a long touchdown because they weren't ready.
So you didn't even have to go back a couple of years. Just go back to the New Orleans week and remember how that went. And we just had to trade Mayo for a cornerback.
I figured all the questions would be positive. Anyway, every week...
Have you met New England fans?
Send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com and we'll answer them right here.